But Steve, you have to admit, it is so nice to have her back where she belongs.
It is. It's good to have her there.
It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. A big guest coming sometime between now and the end of the show. A huge guest. And that's all we're going to say right now.
Super Tuesday results. We've got them for you. We're going to talk to the Tribune's Kristen McQueary in just moments. And it looks like it's gotten down to two potential winners here.
Two?
Well, on each side. Donald Trump and one Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah. Kristen McQueary joins us right now from the Chicago Tribune to talk about what happened yesterday. Kristen, first of all, thank you. There was some rescheduling that went on behind the scenes because of a pending guest, and we appreciate you helping us out and coming in a little earlier than you were scheduled. Hi.
I understand I'm getting bumped for somebody really important.
Well, you're really important.
No,
I
think this is exciting.
Yeah, I'll be down there in a half hour, Kristen.
Steve will be down later on, too.
Good one, Bertrand. So right now it looks like we've got Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I know things can change, but looking pretty good for those two individuals.
It really is. It was just a Trump-tastic, super huge Tuesday for Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton did really well, too. But I would not count Bernie Sanders out. So he won four states last night, Colorado, Minnesota, Oklahoma, and Vermont. And the next couple of states, I think he might do okay. I mean, he's going to hang in there. I don't know that the math is going to work out for him. But
it's certainly not over yet for him.
It is not over yet for him. And I mean, there's some value in sticking around so that the people who have been, you know, you're waiting for your state's primary and you want to cast a ballot for him. Next up on Saturday is Kansas, Louisiana, Nebraska. I think he's going to do pretty well in those states. And then March 8th is right around the corner. And that's a big one. Hawaii, Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi. So he's well funded.
Yeah.
You know, he can, you know, hang with Hillary for maybe the next week. And I think he should.
There was discussion last night after most of the results, but not all of the results were in, about the importance. And this was mostly for Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, but the importance of winning your home state. Is that crucial?
It really is. I mean, if Rubio does not win Florida, the deal is sealed, and it pretty much is already. I mean, he didn't do well last night. He won one state. I think he was hoping for closer margins in some of the other states, but he's just way far, you know, behind Trump and Cruz. And actually, Cruz is still pretty far behind Trump.
Yeah, he is.
So I think this is the end of the road for Marco Rubio. And I don't know if that's because of that one bad debate performance. Remember where he kept...
They said he was robotic.
He was very robotic and he kept repeating himself and Chris Christie kind of jumped on him. That really kind of just sucked the air out of his campaign.
That's too bad.
It's too bad. It's like that 1 minute can really just send you in a death spiral.
I was earlier in the show, I was explaining, I was watching CNN. And he, Marco Rubio, was on with Jake Tapper, and Jake Tapper asked him, because he seemed very upbeat, despite the fact he came in third pretty much across the board, a little bit of variance. But Jake Tapper asked him if he was delusional, and he didn't break on it. He said, no, I'm positive things are going in the right direction, and on and on and on and on. They then analyzed him, the staff there at CNN, and they said that not only is he ruining his chances of being the president, or not even ruining, but it's just not materializing, but they said at this point, because of his poor showing, he's not even going to be considered for vice president, but that wasn't ever going to happen, was it?
It certainly was not going to happen when he started calling Trump a con artist, which is what he's saying now everywhere on the campaign trail. So I think he made a decision that he was going to, you know, go after Trump in a very full-throated way, and that will definitely, you know, you can't have a vice presidential candidate who you don't trust.
Right.
Ben Carson is announcing that he's suspending his campaign. He is mentioned sometimes as a possible Trump running mate. And did you see Chris Christie standing behind Trump during his victory speech last night?
He wants to be vice president.
I don't know why else you would make such a public and risky decision to endorse Trump like that if you weren't wanting, you know, to be considered for vice president.
Will Trump choose him? Aren't you dying to know who the running mates are going to be?
Yeah, I think it's always really fascinating, and it usually doesn't happen until summer. So we won't know until right before the convention.
Yeah, that's where it usually gets announced. Who threw Bill Rancic's name at us yesterday? We're both like, that could never. Hey.
Somebody texted that in.
Did somebody text that in yesterday?
Yeah, and you know what? That's not a bad idea.
He's a trusted friend.
Yeah.
He's from a there's in Chicago still, right?
The yeah, Rancic. I think so.
So he's from a Midwestern state, which would help Trump. You know, you always want to balance geographically your choice.
But think about that. These are two guys who, I don't remember the exact year that Bill Rancic was a contestant on The Apprentice, but that's the impact that that reality TV has on our society now, is the host and the winner of a reality television show could be the president and vice president.
But, you know, maybe Hillary will pick Kim Kardashian.
I was just saying, well, next year.
Would that be a good choice?
Next term, Kanye has said he's running, and of course he's going to pick his wife to be, you know, his running mate.
Don't count out the Ice Road Truckers. Trust me, these guys are a force to be reckoned with, Kristen.
That's right. They're who
dangerous.
Are the Duck Dynasty guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they would just...
Official statement by Dr. Ben Carson on his very website. I have decided not to attend the Fox News GOP presidential debate tomorrow night in Detroit. Even though I will not be in my hometown of Detroit on Thursday, I remain deeply committed to my home nation, America. I do not see a political path forward in light of last evening's Super Tuesday primary results. However, this grassroots movement on behalf of we the people will continue.
Honorable guy, exiting with grace.
Yeah, he seems
to
be.
Someone who was a true outsider and you know, had a very faith-based following, but just too small.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he won. How many delegates did he end up with total? Five?
Yeah,
six?
That. It was
out
a very low number.
Yeah.
All right, so if we look at the three potential candidates, you had Carly Fiorina, who did not fare very well. You had Ben Carson, who I guess was somewhere in the middle, not quite up to par. And you had Donald Trump, who looks like he's going to win the whole thing. What does this say about the future in terms of anybody who says, I've spent my whole life out of politics, but I'm going to give it a shot? Anything could happen.
Hey, if you've got, you know, $30 billion in the bank, you're home free.
Right.
I mean, really, he has been funding his own campaign, and that is crucial to anybody who wants to jump in with no organization that can't be ignored.
Except we still don't have Bloomberg's decision, do we?
We don't, but it would be very hard for him to run because you can't go back and try to get delegates now.
Right.
I mean, he's not even on the ballot in a lot of these states. We are voting in less than 2 weeks in Illinois.
Yeah.
15th?
You know, Kristen,
correct.
Mitt Romney says apparently he's going to have a big speech tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh.
A big comment about this.
Oh.
What would that be?
You know, I don't know if he's going to... He previously was kind of hinting that there might be something in Trump's tax returns, and then Trump sort of jumped all over Mitt. So I don't really think Mitt Romney's going to say anything other than, you know, kind of what the establishment Republicans have been saying, which is we don't want this guy in the White House, you know, trying to maybe drum up support for Ted Cruz. But I don't think he's going to make any sort of like a campaign announcement.
What could possibly surprise us now about Donald Trump? Seriously.
It's a great question. Nothing. I mean, this is someone who has been divorced multiple times, filed for bankruptcy, runs casinos, strip clubs.
Oh, I think you're going to find that he paid a very low tax rate. I mean, he's even foreshadowed that a little bit, right? Saying, just like me, I try to pay as little taxes as possible.
People see that, though. Look what he's going to do. He's going to make it so we can all pay the least amount possible.
No,
good for him.
Not if he's paying half the rate you're paying.
I never seem to think that resonates with voters, though,
really?
Steve. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. There's a Wall Street Journal piece today that, you know, and it's the Wall Street Journal, so you have to take that with a grain of salt. They are generally, you know, pro-low taxes anyway, that kind of excuses him, that the way his businesses are set up, it shouldn't be surprising that he would pay less than we would expect.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if he doesn't give to charity or something like that,
could be a problem. We'll take a quick break and then more with Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune. If you'd like to add in 312-981-7200, we'll get that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And it's Prince Spaghetti Day. It's Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey,
Kristen McQuarrie.
Kristen McQuarrie writes for the Chicago Tribune, and we're talking to her about last night, about Super Tuesday and looking forward. Now, looking forward, of the non-winners, of anyone who's not Trump, and I know it's too early to call, but let's say Donald Trump goes on to win this thing, which of the non-winners stands a chance 4 years from now, 8 years from now, and beyond?
That's a good question. I mean, I think Ben Carson, if he got a little more up to speed on foreign policy, he could be a good candidate if we're, again, looking for sort of that outsider. I don't think this is the last we're going to see of Rubio. I mean, he hasn't even hit 40 yet. He still has a career in the Senate.
Yeah.
I could see him running. I could see Cruz running again. there are lots of rising stars in the Republican Party. Bobby Jindal, do you remember him? He's the Louisiana governor, dropped out real early. I could see him jumping in again. And then everybody talks about Nikki Haley, the South Carolina governor, who's a woman and very popular in her state, something like 80% approval ratings. So the farm team for the Republicans is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I like Dr. Ben Carson. I really do. I feel sorry
for
him.
The gentlest of all candidates.
I know.
He is. And, you know, he was very, you know, he was a constitutional conservative. Even if you're not crazy about, you know, his faith and him bringing that into the conversation all the time, he was very much a freedom of religion candidate, outsider, moral compass.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really say that about Donald Trump. I guess voters don't care. You know, I had this moment when I was watching last night where I just thought that for people like me who've been, you know, pontificating about this race for months, it was really like an eat crow Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because I probably said on this show, I always thought GOP primary voters would eventually coalesce around someone like a Ted Cruz or someone who was equally as conservative but not as bombastic
right.
as Donald Trump. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
But I still can't see when the election comes, them casting their vote. It's, yes, let's put him there because he represents change in the way things have been going. But I can't believe that he will win.
The demographics are going to be tough for him. He's offended so many groups.
That's it.
And I remember sitting on election night 4 years ago when Mitt Romney lost, and my just looking at the states where he did not do well, have growing and important Latino populations.
Right.
And the Republican Party does a terrible job of trying to bring them into the tent, the worst being Donald Trump. I mean, he's talking about a wall and his announcement. You know, he's talking about Mexicans coming over the border and raping our citizens.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So when you just look at the demographics of this country, that would be a tough sell, I think, for people to vote for him.
When you look at Ted Cruz's evangelical ways, is that the right direction? I know he's playing true to form. He is that way. But in the long run, will that end up hurting him and his chances? Or are there enough people who want that sort of guy? And the numbers don't seem to prove that. But if he were to come back in 4 years, would he play that up more or would he lay low on that, do you think?
Well, that's a good question because that's what got George W. Bush elected, were those really dedicated evangelical voters. In this race, about a quarter of them are voting for Trump, who is like the least faith-based person I could point to. He talked at one time about how, he went to church and he would have the little cracker and the little juice. I mean, and that's he was in the middle of an Iowa faith-based auditorium setting, and they asked, I think, like, have you ever sought forgiveness from the Lord? And he said, no. No, I don't think so. So I do think that's changed
this
time. He's perfect. He doesn't need to talk to God. He is God.
Right. The art of the deal, Kristen. He knows how to deal with
actually, God reached out to him a couple times.
Tell him I'll call him back.
Oh, right. I'm busy.
Send God to voicemail.
Right. Beep. So I don't know that block of voters is coalesced anymore.
Right.
I mean, if you have them going for somebody like Trump, that's different.
Really quickly, there's a phrase that we all keep hearing over and over, and now they're using it in the ads, and it's Donald Trump saying, "I love the poorly educated." What does that say, really? When you analyze that sentence and him saying that sentence, what does that say?
It says what we've been saying about Trump all along, that he basically shoots from the hip. He says whatever is at the forefront of his cerebral brain here, and the voters tolerate it. You know, I mean, that of all the things that he has said, that was just one more that in the past we would have said, oh, my gosh, gaffe, demand an apology. All of that has been wiped away with this election because I think voters got really frustrated with that sort of vanilla messaged candidates. And so it's actually okay that he said that.
Yeah.
And it just shows, you know, again, him trying to say I'm smarter than the rest of you and I don't care where my votes come from.
Bring me the people who aren't very smart. Those are my people.
Those are my people. That's sort of what he said. I mean, I didn't see a big uprising from, you know, people.
From dumb people?
They don't know how to use the Twitter machine.
I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it. But, you know, people who don't have advanced degrees.
That's the better way to say it.
I didn't hear
Kristen's
anybody.
Kristen's nicer than you are,
I guess.
Not usually. So I just, you know, he's beyond Teflon. He can really say anything.
So true.
Know? I mean, he wiggled around the whole KKK issue. So,
my headphones weren't working. What?
Right.
You gave me this earpiece. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How about that? Thank you. It's Kristen McQuarrie. Read her in the Chicago Tribune. We're going to take a quick break. Steve with the news. And then we believe a huge guest coming next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.